vendor-wise spend, you also need to monitor, track, and review a vendor-wise trends. So new vendors considered and contracted, difference between vendors. The two vendors or multiple vendors doing the same amount of work, but is there a variation on the amount being spent on those vendors? Top vendors by volume and money spent. So categorize and classify your vendors. Spend trend with vendors, within vendors, comparing different vendors. Spend for an item or service vendor-wise. So example, if you're talking about a technical support help desk, so how much does the company spend per customer inquiry? Now that may differ vendor to vendor. So when you are looking at the overall spend on a vendor, you may also look at the spend per unit for every vendor. So that may be a better comparison when you're trying to review and compare the performance of different vendors. Suppliers of key products. You need to look at the suppliers of key products and identify the amount being spent on them. Again, you may want to look at the spend per unit. That's the lowest possible measure to compare performances. Spend on a vendor, business unit wise. So different business units might be working with the same vendor. We want to categorize the amount being spent by each business unit with respect to the volume and the quality of work as well. So now we'll talk about performance management. Performance management, this is done, the entire exercise of reviewing and monitoring is done at two levels. One, externally directed at the vendors, where their performance against the project requirement is monitored and managed. This we have discussed in the previous two chapters as well, where we monitor and we review the performance of the vendor with respect to the agreed terms in the statement of work or the service level agreement with respect to quality, with respect to timeliness, with respect to compliance standards. And we also conduct a performance management internally, where the performance of the vendor management office is monitored and managed. So when the organization would have decided to set up a vendor management office, it would have been done to ensure that the organization derives higher value in terms of quality, in terms of responsiveness, in terms of timeliness from their vendor engagements. In case the vendor management office, after being constituted, increases the amount being spent on outsourcing requirements without any significant gains in the quality of service, constituting a vendor management office does not make any sense. Hence, even internally, the organization should need to review the performance of the vendor management office. The resources involved in the vendor management office, the executive head, project managers, performance managers, legal, financial experts, relationship managers, is this team helping the organization derive higher value from their outsourcing engagements at a reduced cost of operations? So while we externally measure the performance of vendors, we also internally measure the effectiveness of having a vendor management office. Now, vendor performance management is the means and ways of capturing, measuring, analyzing, and reporting the vendor's performance. So be it with respect to, again, the quality of service, the timeliness of service, the cost of service, and also their adherence to contractual terms and compliance guidelines. So the vendor management office spends a lot of time and effort selecting and contracting with vendors. So a lot of time, resources, and even money is spent in the sourcing and the procurement process. So once that's been done, we need to ensure that the required output is achieved in the delivery process as well. And that happens, and we can control that to a certain extent only once we have a robust vendor management and also a continuous improvement mechanism in place. So the vendor management office must develop and execute a vendor performance review process. The frequency of review, the medium of review, the dashboard, the templates, the reports being used in the review needs to be standardized and agreed by both parties that can be used across the organization. So standardization across different vendor engagements. However, this again would depend upon the size and the complexity of projects. So a small level project, we discussed the example, you cannot compare the review process of a T vendor and an IT service provider. So you need to understand and standardize the process depending upon the size and complexity of projects and the vendors involved in the project. So advantage of vendor performance management is establishing a track record of the vendor's performance. So this would also help you when it comes to future outsourcing requirements. So if you are clearly dissatisfied with the performance of a particular vendor in the current delivery, the vendor should not be considered or would not be considered if and when there is a future outsourcing requirement. So you have a repository of projects, information about delivery of projects by vendors, that also helps the organization in terms of future project deliveries. The objectives of vendor performance management, it's very clear, it's about ensuring that the output of the delivery is as expected by the organization. The objectives of outsourcing are met in terms of cost, quality and delivery and time. So the vendor performance management helps the vendor management office or the VMO understand the vendors better and the vendors' capabilities by not just stakeholders' experience but formal documented approach as well. So you don't just rely on subjective feedback by the project managers or the relationship managers. We have data collected which can be used as a source to review, judge and rate the performance of individual vendors. It also helps measure past performance accurately. So rather than being a subjective feedback, we rely on data collection. It aids future decision making in terms of future contracts, also in terms of how the relationship with the vendor would evolve over a period of time. Provide factual documentation basis for incentives or penalties. Again, not relying on subjective feedback or not relying on assumptions of people managing the vendor. We rely on data for accurate decision making, on accurate conclusions. Provides a means for continuous improvement. Again, if you do not know the level of performance, if you're not able to understand the variation and the trends in performance, if you're not able to identify the key drivers of performance, you will not be able to implement a continuous improvement mechanism in place. It can also give early warnings for possible disruptions or stakeholder dissatisfactions. Again, it's coming about early warning signals with respect to identifying potential threats or potential disruptions to the service or even satisfaction issues, not only with stakeholders, but also with respect to end customers and end users. So when we have a performance management process in place, when we review and we collect data, if we look at trends, we're able to predict and forecast what's in the future, coming weeks or coming months. And that is where we are able to proactively implement countermeasures to be able to control and manage the performance of the entire team. It also lets us set common ground for realistic future expectations. So once we have data collected, everybody is on the same page. When it comes to subjective feedback, it's easy to debate subjective feedback or assumptions. But when you have decisions made based out of accurate data collection, there's a common ground and everybody is on the same page. Hence, decision making and reviewing becomes easier. because it's factual. Now, let's look at the challenges when it comes to managing the vendor performance. First is, cooperation is a big challenge. So if the vendor is not performing up to a certain standard, and if we continuously keep on passing the feedback that we are not happy with the performance, at times we may see lack of cooperation from vendor representatives. So this is where the governance of relationship and the governance of interaction comes in handy, which we discussed in the previous chapter. Lack of clarity of the intention and objectives of the performance management system. So while we have a well-defined performance management system in place, right from the frequency of reviews to the dashboards and templates used in the reviews, what is the expected output, or why is it being done? So everybody needs to understand what is the output or outcome expected out of the entire delivery or the entire process of reviewing and managing. Is it to improve the quality of service? Is it to manage and control the cost of the project? It needs to be clear. So while you analyze data, you need to have the understanding on what are we looking for, or what are the stakeholders looking for. Determining the performance categories to measure and analyze. This usually should be a part of the contract. You need to identify the key performance indicators. You need to have the specifications mentioned in the agreement. You also need to have clarity on how to measure these key performance indicators in terms of the operational definition, in terms of the frequency of measurement. Would you look at daily data points or weekly data points? Would you look at individual customer data points or collective customer data points? So all these need to be clear for you to collect data in the right format and then review the vendor's performance. Unclear metrics are established at times. So you may have metrics. However, if the standard or the operational definition on how you measure something is not clear, you would not be able to arrive at accurate measurements. So you should not have unclear metrics. The specifications and how do you measure something needs to be very clear and understood by all. Excessive reliance on opinions. We need to avoid subjective opinions as much as we can. The entire exercise of monitoring, reviewing a performance should be based on data rather than being based on subjective opinions and feedback from performance managers. Yes, you would need subjective feedback as well. However, data needs to be used when it comes to managing the entire performance of the vendors. Non-availability of real-time information. This is a big challenge because we spoke about the need of visibility into data. So if you do not have access to real-time information, the process of reviewing gets delayed. So that's another challenge that we face, especially when we are working with large teams spread across cities or at times even across continents. Lack of details in certain critical areas. Again, lack of data points, not having enough data, or the sample size being too small to be able to derive at a conclusion. Some data can only be attained from vendors. It's completely in the control of the vendor representatives or the team. So this information might be misleading. So they might manipulate the data in order to arrive at a certain performance standard. This is where the most we can do is automate the entire data collection and conduct frequent and surprise audits. Too much data resulting into analysis paralysis. Again, too much data is also not good. This is where we could use sampling of data sets. Short-term improvement measures. Short-term improvement measures are good. However, you also need to consider long-term improvements as well. The goal should always be long-term. However, you need to have short-term measures to meet immediate and sudden customer expectations. Sometimes improvements are driven in the wrong areas. This would happen if the entire data collection or the analysis was inaccurate or incorrect. Difference in behavioral performance versus contractual performance. So this again is very critical, where contractual terms might be met in terms of legal, financial aspects. However, the behavioral performance, especially when the team at the vendor side is interacting with your end customers. So we discussed in one of the previous chapters on the vendor and the client delivering a unified message to the end customers. So it's not just delivering the unified message, it's also about how do we interact or how do we behave with end customers and clients. So there should be no difference when it comes to meeting contractual obligations and the behavioral performance of the team members in the vendor organization. So let's now look at the characteristics of managing the vendor performance. One, it should be a flexible system. You cannot have a rigid system in place. There needs to be flexibility in order, because data at times needs to be understood in context of the situation or the time of data being collected. You need to have certain level of flexibility to understand and review the performance, because there are some variations which may happen in spite of the fact the vendor putting in 100% effort. So we need to understand the reason for those variations and categorize why the variation in performance may or might have happened. Should be involvement of stakeholders. We've discussed the importance of commitment from senior management. Without their commitment, the entire vision and objective of the project is most often lost. Should provide for a query function to evaluate performance across various parameters, and should be quantitative. Again, you would need qualitative feedback as well. You would need people interacting with the vendor, the relationship managers or the project manager come with their feedback. However, when it comes to evaluating a vendor performance with respect to terms in the contract, you would need to rely on quantitative data rather than relying on people-specific assumptions. Should be updated regularly, should be up-to-date, should provide for different metrics for different categories of vendors. Again, it would depend upon the kind of project, the nature of project, on what do you measure and how frequently you measure. Should have the capability to provide early warnings. Risk assessment is a key to timely and quality delivery of service. Should be accessible to vendors as well. So we may not have the reports only available to the client representatives. The vendor needs to know if they are performing well or if they are not able to deliver as per the standards. We cannot expect them to improve the performance if we do not share the performance with them. Should always be anchored against benchmarks. So you would always have benchmarks or baseline performance as a reference. So we need to look at the current performance or the forecast performance against these benchmarks. So are we performing at par with our competitors, or are we performing at par with what we have achieved in the past? So what are the steps when it comes to vendor performance management? We've discussed the objectives, the characteristics and the challenges. How do we conduct the vendor performance management? First, define the entire strategy. In terms, strategy would be what do you measure, how do you measure, when do you measure, how do you report, when do you review and how do you review. What happens if the performance is not up to the mark or the standard agreed to in this statement of work? Define the evaluation criteria. So how do you evaluate and what do you evaluate? What are the specifications the vendor needs to meet? So specifications, I mean the target that the vendor needs to meet for different parameters or the key performance indicators. So it's about customer satisfaction. What should be the target or specification? If it is turnaround time, what should be the minimum turnaround time that we, or the maximum turnaround time that we expect the vendor to meet when it comes to delivery of the entire agreement? Define the rating system of the report card. So how do we rate their performance as good, bad, or satisfactory or not satisfactory? Define the modalities like stakeholders concerned, as well as means and frequency of data collection. Again, as I said, this would depend upon the size and the complexity of the project. Would you want daily data points or weekly data points? It also depends upon the volume of data being generated. If data points are too less in terms of just 2 or 3 interactions a day, looking at daily data points would not give you the right picture. You need to have a good enough sample size to be able to arrive at conclusions. So this would be case to case specific. This would depend upon, as I said, the size and the complexity of the project, and also on availability of raw data. How easy and how cost effective is it to collect raw data for your analysis? Collect the data on the defined parameters. These parameters would have been agreed while the contract was negotiated. So are we measuring turnaround time? Are we measuring customer satisfaction? Are we measuring cost per unit? So all these need to be defined, and data collection should be driven in order to have adequate data for all the defined parameters. Analyze and discuss report card with stakeholders. Stakeholders within the client organization as well as stakeholders in the vendor organization. Discuss with vendor and chalk out improvement plan. We've discussed the need for having a continuous improvement mechanism. Continuously monitor action points in improvement plan. So we need to have a control plan as well. If something was not meeting the targets and we had an improvement plan and steps were identified and implemented to improve the performance level, are those action points being implemented? Is the action plan being adhered to? That needs to be checked and continuously monitored. So we need to have a control plan for all the improvement steps, and appropriate inputs provided to sourcing for future actions. So from one project or from one or multiple projects, when we complete the entire delivery or during the implementation, we collect a lot of data. We analyze the vendor performance. We analyze the spend on a particular project and a vendor. These need to be passed on to the sourcing team or representatives involved in sourcing for selection of vendors for future projects within the organization. So this is where performance management and also spend analysis would help. One, improving the performance of the current outsourcing engagement. And second, acting as an input source of information for all future strategic decisions with respect to outsourcing and selection of vendors. With this, we come to the end of the entire vendor management project, especially with respect to project management and outsourcing. So we discussed about the key activities from sourcing, procurement, to the vendor management, and the key aspects of the entire vendor management procedure, as well as the architecture of a vendor management office. Hope you've enjoyed the session here. Thank you very much.